Chapter 3. The Ways of Honor. Avienda crouched with her spear sisters and some true blood scouts atop the low grassy hill, looking down at the refugees. They were a sorry lot, these Damani wetlanders, with dirtied faces that had not seen a sweat tent in months, their emaciated children too hungry to cry. One sad mule pulled a single cart among the hundred struggling people. What they hadn't piled in the vehicle, they carried. There wasn't much of either. They plodded northeast along a pathway that couldn't quite be called a road. Perhaps there was a village in that direction. Perhaps they were just fleeing the uncertainty of the coastal lands. The hilly landscape was open, save for the occasional stand of trees. The refugees hadn't seen Avienda and her companions, despite the fact that they were less than 100 paces away. She'd never understood how wetlanders could be so blind. Didn't they watch, noting any oddities on the horizon? Couldn't they see that traveling so near to a hilltop practically invited scouts to spy on them? They should have secured the hill with their own scouts before coming anywhere near. Didn't they care? Avienda shivered. How could you not care about eyes watching you? Eyes that might belong to a man or maiden holding a spear? Were they so eager to wake from the dream? Avienda did not fear death, but there was a very big difference between embracing death and wishing for it. Cities, she thought, they're the problem. Cities were stinking, festering places like sores that never healed. Some were better than others. Elaine did an admirable job with Camelin, but the best of them gathered too many people and taught them to grow comfortable staying in one place. If those refugees had been accustomed to travel and had learned to use their own feet, rather than relying on horses, as wetlanders so often did, then it would not be so difficult for them to leave their towns. Among the Aiel, the craftsmen were trained to defend themselves, the children could live off the land for days, and even blacksmiths could travel great distances quickly. An entire sept could be on the move within an hour, carrying everything they needed on their backs. Wetlanders were strange, doubtless. Still, she felt pity for the refugees. The emotion surprised her. While she was not heartless, her duty lay elsewhere, with Randall Thor. She had no reason to feel heartsore for a group of wetlanders she'd never met. But time spent with her first sister, Elaine Trakand, had taught her that not all wetlanders were soft and weak. Just most of them. There was G. in caring for those who could not care for themselves. Watching these refugees, Avienda tried to see them as Elaine would, but she still struggled to understand Elaine's form of leadership. It was not the simple leadership of a group of maidens on a raid. That was both instinctive and efficient. Elaine would not watch these refugees for signs of danger or hidden soldiers. Elaine would feel a responsibility to them, even if they were not of her own people. She would find a way to send food, perhaps use her troops to secure a safe place for them to homestead, and, in doing so, acquire a piece of this country for herself. Once Avienda would have left these thoughts to clan chiefs and roof mistresses, but she wasn't a maiden any longer, and she had accepted that. She now lived under a different roof. She was ashamed that she had resisted the change for so long. But that left her with a problem. What honor was there for her now? No longer a maiden, not quite a wise one. Her entire identity had been wrapped up in those spears, herself forged into their steel as surely as the carbon that strengthened them. She had grown from childhood certain that she would be Far Darai Smai. Indeed, she had joined the maidens as soon as possible. She had been proud of her life and of her spear sisters. She would have served her clan and sept until the day when she finally fell to the spear, bleeding her last water onto the parched earth of the Threefold Land. This was not the Threefold Land, and she had heard some Algai de Siswai wonder if the Aiel would ever return there. Their lives had changed. She didn't trust change. It couldn't be spotted or stabbed. It was more silent than any scout, more deadly than any assassin. No, she'd never trust it. But she would accept it. She would learn Elaine's ways and how to think like a chief. She would find honor in her new life. somehow.
"They are no threat,"
whispered Hyrn, crouching with the True Bloods on the other side of the maidens. Ruark watched the refugees, alert.
"The dead walk,"
the Tardad clan chief said,
"and men fall at random to sightblinders evil, their blood corrupted like the water of a bad well. Those might be poor folk fleeing the ravages of war, or they might be something else. We keep our distance."
Avienda glanced at the increasingly distant line of refugees. She did not think Ruark was right. These were not ghosts or monsters. There was always something wrong about those. They left her with an itch, as if she were about to be attacked. Still, Ruark was wise. One learned to be careful in the threefold land, where a tiny twig could kill. The group of Aiel slipped off the hilltop and down onto the brown-grassed plain beyond. Even after months spent in the wetlands, Avienda found the landscape strange. Trees here were tall and long-limbed, with too many buds. When the Aiel crossed patches of yellow spring grass among the fallen winter leaves, they all seemed so full of water that she half expected the blades and leaves to burst beneath her feet. She knew the wetlanders said that this spring was unnaturally slow starting, but already it was more fertile than her homeland. In the threefold land, this meadow, with the hills to provide watchpoints and shelter, would have immediately been seized by a sept and used for farming. Here, it was just one of a thousand different untouched patches of land. The fault lay again in those cities. The nearest ones were too distant from this location to make it a good spot for a wetland or farmstead. The eight Aiel quickly crossed the grasses, weaving between hillsides, moving with speed and stealth. Horses could not match a man's feet, what with their thunderous galloping. Terrible beasts! Why did the wetlanders insist on riding them? Baffling! Avienda could begin to understand how a chief or queen must think, but she knew that she'd never completely understand wetlanders. They were just too strange. Even Randall Thor. Especially Randall Thor. She smiled, thinking of his earnest eyes. She remembered the scent of him. Wetlander soaps, which smelled of oil, mixed with that particular earthy musk that was all his own. She would marry him. She was as determined as Elaine in that regard. Now that they were first sisters, they could marry him together as was proper. Only how could Avienda marry anyone now? Her honor had been in her spears, but Randall Thor now wore those at his waist, beaten and forged into a belt buckle, given to him by her own hand. He had offered her marriage once. A man offering marriage! Another of those strange wetlander customs. Even disregarding the strangeness of it, disregarding the insult his proposal had shown Elaine, Avienda could never have accepted Randall Thor as her husband. Couldn't he understand that a woman must bring honor to a marriage? What could a mere apprentice offer? Would he have her come to him as an inferior? It would shame her completely to do that. He must not have understood. She did not think him cruel, only dense. She would come to him when she was ready, then lay the bridal wreath at his feet, and she couldn't do that until she knew who she was. The ways of Je et To were complex. Avienda knew how to measure honor as a maiden, but wise ones were different creatures entirely. She had thought she was gaining some small amount of honor in their eyes. They had allowed her, for instance, to spend a great deal of time with her first sister in Camelin. But then, suddenly, Dorinda and Nadir had arrived and informed Avienda that she had been ignoring her training. They had seized her like a child caught listening furtively outside the sweat tent, towing her away to join the rest of her clan as they left for Arad Doman. And now the wise ones treated her with less respect than they had before. They offered her no teaching. Somehow she had misstepped in their eyes. That made her stomach twist. To shame herself before the other wise ones was almost as bad as showing fear before one as brave as Elaine. So far the wise ones had allowed Avienda some honor by letting her serve punishments. But she didn't know how she had shamed herself in the first place. Asking would, of course, only bring more shame. Until she unwove the problem, she could not meet her To. Worse, there was a real danger of her making the mistake again. Until she sorted out this problem, she would remain an apprentice, and she would never be able to bring an honorable bridal wreath to Randall Thor. Avienda gritted her teeth. Another woman might have wept, but what good would that have done? Whatever her mistake, she had brought it upon herself, and it was her duty to right it. She would find honor again, and she would marry Randall Thor before he died at the last battle. That meant that whatever it was she had to learn, she needed to do so quickly. Very quickly. They met up with another group of Aiel, waiting in a small clearing amid a stand of pine trees. The ground was thick with discarded brown needles, the sky broken by the towering trunks. The group was small by the standards of clans and septs, barely 200 people. In the middle of the clearing stood four wise ones, each wearing the characteristic brown woolen skirt and white blouse. Avienda wore similar attire, which now felt as natural to her as the Cadensor once had. The scouting party split up, men and maidens moving to join members of their clans or societies. Ruark joined the wise ones, and Avienda followed him. Each of the wise ones, Amis, Bear, Milane, and Nadir, gave her a glance. Bear, the only Aiel with the group who wasn't Tardad or Goshin, had arrived only recently, perhaps to coordinate with the others. Whatever the reason, none of them seemed pleased. Avienda hesitated. If she left now, would it seem as if she were trying to avoid their attention? Did she instead dare stay and risk incurring their further displeasure? "Well," Amis said to Ruark. Though Amis had white hair, she looked quite young. In her case, this wasn't due to working the power. Her hair had started turning silver when she'd been a child.
"It was as the scouts described, shade of my heart," Ruark said. "Another pitiful band of wetlander refugees. I saw no hidden danger in them."
The wise ones nodded, as if this was what they had expected.
"That is the 10th band of refugees in less than a week," said aged Bear, her watery blue eyes thoughtful.
Ruark nodded.
"There are rumors of Shonshan attacks on harbors to the west. Perhaps the people move inland to avoid the raids."
He glanced at Amis.
"This country boils like water spilled on a hearthstone. The clans are uncertain what Rand Althor wishes of them."
"He was very clear," Bear noted. "He will be pleased that you and Dobrain Taborwin secured Bandar Ebon, as he asked."
Ruark nodded.
"But still his intentions are not clear. He asked for us to restore order. Are we then to be like wetlander city guardsmen? That is no place for the Aiel. We are not to conquer, so we do not get the 5th. And yet it feels very much like conquest, what we do. The Kara Karn's orders can be clear, yet confusing at the same time. He has a gift in that area, I think."
Bear smiled, nodding.
"Perhaps he intends for us to do something with these refugees."
"And what would we do?" Amis asked, shaking her head. "Are we Shido, expected to make guy shine from wetlanders?" Her tone left little doubt as to what she thought of both Shido and the idea of making wetlanders guy shine.
Avienda nodded in agreement.
As Ruark said, the Kara Karn had sent them to Arad Doman to restore order. But that was a wetlander concept. Aiel brought their own order with them. There was chaos to war and battle, true, but each and every Aiel understood his place and would act within that place. The little children understood honor and To, and a hold would continue to function after all of the leaders and wise ones were killed. It was not so with wetlanders. They ran about like a basket of wild lizards suddenly dropped onto hot stones, taking no care for provisions when they fled. As soon as their leaders were occupied or distracted, banditry and chaos ruled. The strong took from the weak, and even blacksmiths were not safe. What could Randall Thor expect the Aiel to do about it? They could not teach Je-Eto to an entire nation. Randalthor had told them to avoid killing Damani troops, but those troops, often corrupt and turned to banditry themselves, were part of the problem.
"Perhaps he will explain more when we arrive at this manor house of his," said Milane, shaking her head, red-gold hair catching the light. Her pregnancy was just beginning to show beneath her wise one blouse. "And if he does not, then surely it is better for us to be here in Arad Doman than to spend yet more time lounging back in the land of the tree killers."
"As you say," Ruark agreed. "Let us move on, then. There is still a distance to run."
He moved off to speak with Bale. Avienda took a step away, but a harsh glance from Amis made her freeze.
"Avienda," said the hard, white-haired woman, "how many wise ones went with Ruark to scout this refugee train?"
"None but me," Avienda admitted.
"Oh, and are you a wise one now?" Bear asked.
"No," Avienda said quickly, then shamed herself further by blushing. "I spoke poorly."
"Then you shall be punished," Bear said. "You are no longer a maiden, Avienda. It is not your place to scout. That is a task for others."
"Yes, wise one," Avienda said, looking down. She had not thought that going with Ruark would bring her shame. She had seen other wise ones do similar tasks.
"But I am not a wise one," she reminded herself. "I am an apprentice only."
Bear had not said that a wise one could not scout, only that it had not been Avienda's place to go. It was about Avienda herself, and about whatever it was she had done, or perhaps continued to do, to provoke the wise ones. Did they think she had grown soft by spending time with Elaine? Avienda herself worried that that was true. During her days in Camelin, she had begun to find herself enjoying the silks and baths. By the end, she had objected only feebly when Elaine had come up with an excuse to dress her in some impractical and frivolous garment, with embroidery and lace. It was well that the others had come for her. The others just stood there, looking at her expectantly, faces like red desert stones, impassive and stern. Avienda gritted her teeth again. She would complete her apprenticeship and find honor. She would! The call came to begin moving, and Cadenzor-clad men and women did so, running together in small groups. The wise ones moved as easily as the soldiers, despite their bulky skirts. Amis touched Avienda's arm.
"You will run with me so that we can discuss your punishment."
Avienda fell into pace beside the wise one at a brisk jog. It was a speed any Aiel could maintain almost indefinitely. Her group from Camelin had met up with Ruark as he was traveling from Bandar Ebon to meet with Randalthor in the western part of the country. Dobrain Taborwen, a Kyrianin, was still maintaining order in the capital city, where he'd reportedly located a member of the Damani ruling body. Perhaps the group of Aiel could have traveled through a gateway the rest of the distance, but it was not far, only a few days by foot, and they had left early enough to arrive at the appointed time without using the One Power. Ruark wanted to scout for himself some of the landscape near the manor house Randalthor was using as a base. Other bodies of Goshin or Tardad Aiel would join them at the base, using gateways if needed.
"What do you think of the Karakarn's demands of us here in Arad Doman, Avienda?" Amis asked as they ran.
Avienda stifled a frown. What of her punishment?
"It is an irregular request," she said. "But Randalthor has many strange ideas, even for a wetlander. This will not be the most unusual duty he has set for us."
"And the fact that Ruark finds the duty discomforting?"
"I doubt that the clan chief is uncomfortable," Avienda said. "I suspect that Ruark speaks what he has heard others say, passing the information to the wise ones. He does not wish to shame others by revealing who has spoken of their fears."
Amis nodded. What was the purpose of the questions? Surely the woman had guessed the same thing. She would not come to Avienda for counsel. They ran in silence for a time with no mentions of punishments. Had the wise ones forgiven her unknown slight? Surely they wouldn't dishonor her in that way. Avienda had to be given time to think out what she had done, otherwise her shame would be unbearable. She might err again, this time worse. Amice gave no clue as to her thoughts. The wise one had been a maiden once, like Avienda. She was hard, even for an Aiel.
"And Althor himself?" Amice asked. "What do you think of him?"
"I love him," Avienda said.
"I did not ask Avienda the silly girl," Amice said curtly. "I asked Avienda the wise one."
"He is a man of many burdens," Avienda said more carefully. "I fear that he makes many of those burdens heavier than they need be. I once thought that there was only one way to be strong, but I have learned from my first sister that I was wrong. Randall Thor, I do not think he has learned this yet. I worry that he mistakes hardness for strength."
Amice nodded again as if in approval. Were these questions a test of some sort?
"You would marry him?" Amice asked.
"I thought we weren't talking about Avienda the silly girl," Avienda thought, but of course didn't say it. One did not say such things to Amice.
"I will marry him," she said instead. "It is not a possibility, but a certainty."
The tone earned her a glance from Amice, but Avienda held her ground. Any wise one who misspoke deserved to be corrected.
"And the wetlander, Min Farshaw?" Amice asked. "She obviously loves him. What will you do about her?"
"She is my concern," Avienda said. "We will reach an accommodation. I have spoken with Min Farshaw, and I believe she will be easy to work with."
"You would become first sisters with her as well?" Amice asked, sounding just faintly amused.
"We will reach an accommodation, wise one.
And if you cannot?"
"We will," Avienda said firmly.
"And how can you be so certain?"
Avienda hesitated. Part of her wished to return only silence to that question, passing the leafless brush thickets and giving Amice no answer. But she was just an apprentice, and while she could not be forced to speak, she knew that Amice would keep pushing until the answer came out. Avienda hoped she would not incur too much to by her response.
"You know of the woman Min's viewings?" Avienda said.
Amice nodded.
"One of those viewings relates to Randall Thor and the three women he will love. Another relates to my children by the Kara Karn."
She said no more, and Amice pressed no more. It was enough. Both knew that one would sooner find a stone dog who would retreat than find a viewing of Min's that went wrong. On the one hand, it was good to know that Randall Thor would be hers, although she would have to share him. She did not begrudge Elaine, of course, but Min... well, Avienda did not really know her. Regardless, the viewing was a comfort, but it was also bothersome. Avienda loved Randall Thor because she chose to, not because she was destined to. Of course, Min's viewing didn't guarantee that Avienda would actually be able to marry Rand, so perhaps she had misspoken to Amice. Yes, he would love three women, and three women would love him, but would Avienda find a way to marry him? No, the future was not certain, and for some reason that brought her comfort. Perhaps she should have worried, but she did not. She would get her honor back, and then she would marry Randall Thor. Perhaps he would die soon after, but perhaps an ambush would come and she would fall to an arrow this day. Worrying solved nothing. Toh, however, was another matter.
"I misspoke, wise one," Avienda said. "I implied that the viewing said I would marry Randall Thor. That is not true. All three of us will love him, and while that implies marriage, I do not know for certain."
Amice nodded. There was no to. Avienda had corrected herself quickly enough. That was well. She would not add more shame on top of what she had already earned.
"Very well, then," Amice said, watching the path ahead of her. "Let us discuss today's punishment."
Avienda relaxed slightly. So she still had time to discover what she had done wrong. Wetlanders often seemed confused by Aiel ways with punishment, but wetlanders had little understanding of honor. Honor didn't come from being punished, but accepting a punishment and bearing it restored honor. That was the soul of To, the willing lowering of oneself in order to recover that which had been lost. It was strange to her that wetlanders couldn't see this. Indeed, it was strange that they didn't follow Je et To instinctively. What was life without honor? Amis, rightly, wouldn't tell Avienda what she had done wrong. However, she was having no success thinking through the answer on her own, and it would cause less shame if she discovered the answer through conversation. Yes, Avienda said carefully, I should be punished. My time in Camelin threatened to make me weak. Amis sniffed. You are no more weak than you were when you carried the spears, girl. A fair bit stronger, I should think. Your time with your first sister was important for you. So that wasn't it. When Dorinda and Nadir had come for her, they had said she needed to continue her training as an apprentice. Yet in the time since the Aiel had departed for Arad Doman, Avienda had been given no lessons. She had been assigned to carry water, to mend shawls, and to serve tea. She had been given all manner of punishments with little explanation of what she had done wrong. And when she did something obvious, like going scouting when she shouldn't have, the severity of her punishment was always greater than the infraction should have merited. It was almost as if the punishment was the thing the wise ones wanted her to learn. But that could not be. She was not some wetlander who needed to be taught the ways of honor. What good would constant and unexplained punishment do, other than to warn of some grave mistake she had made? Amis reached to her side, untying something hanging at her waist. The woolen bag she held up was about the size of a fist. We have decided, she said, that we have been too lax in our instruction. Time is precious and we have no room left for delicacy. Avienda covered her surprise. Their previous punishments were delicate? Therefore, Amis said, handing over the small sack, you will take this. Inside are seeds. Some are black, others are brown, others are white. This evening, before we sleep, you will separate the colors, then count how many there are of each one. If you are wrong, we will mix them together, and you will start again. Avienda found herself gaping, and she nearly stumbled to a stop. Hauling water was necessary work. Mending clothing was necessary work. Cooking meals was important work, particularly when no Guy Shine had been brought with the small advance group. But this was useless work. It was not only unimportant, it was frivolous. It was the kind of punishment reserved for only the most stubborn or most shameful of people. It almost felt as though the wise ones were calling her Datsang. By sight blinders' eyes, she whispered, as she forced herself to keep running. What did I do? Amis glanced at her, and Avienda looked away. Both knew that she didn't want an answer to that question. She took the bag silently. It was the most humiliating punishment she had ever been given. Amis moved off to run with the other wise ones. Avienda shook off her stupor, her determination returning. Her mistake must have been more profound than she had thought. Amis's punishment was an indication of that, a hint. She opened the bag and glanced inside. There were three little empty algoda bags inside to help with the separation, and thousands of tiny seeds nearly engulfed them. This punishment was meant to be seen, meant to bring her shame. Whatever she'd done, it was offensive not just to the wise ones, but to all around her, even if they, like Avienda herself, were ignorant of it. That only meant she had to be more determined.